Love lives here. Hi, I'm Holly Steele.
And I'm Mary Stedman.
We are the creators of Steele and Stedman Service Solutions. And together have a combined 70-year history as service professionals. Our belief is that talking about love should not simply be relegated to the domain of music and art. We agree with the late, great Tina Turner when she sings, "What's love got to do with it?" Well, everything.
In this Service Love podcast, you will experience conversations with hospitality professionals, including world-class concierge, entrepreneurs, business owners, and corporate executives around the world on how they express service love. Thank you for joining us in leading a service love movement. There is no doubt what the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. Our next guest has defied the odds as a rapper from Canada, becoming a certified international artist, a successful record label executive, an author, and a socially active community ambassador. He set a Guinness World Record when he freestyled for nearly 9 hours in 2003, sold tens of thousands of CDs, hit number one on the U.S. college hip-hop radio charts, and traveled the world performing for sold-out crowds. In between recording, he founded the Stay Driven program launched in 2001. Stay Driven is based on his own life experiences, where he addresses relevant topics such as anti-bullying, peer pressure, and literacy. He has spoken and performed at over 3,500 schools, reaching hundreds of thousands of students. In 2023, he rocked more than 200 shows across Canada, Black Canadian History School Tour, including a virtual conference, which was attended by over 100,000 youth. He's been profiled on TV, print, and even co-hosted Entertainment Tonight Canada Live. Recently, he was named in Shifter Magazine as one of the 20 outstanding Black men in Canada. In addition to his career as an artist, he is also the driving force behind Northern Power Summit, regarded in the urban community as one of the premier emerging conferences in Canada. He is also the proud father of two beautiful children and one of my closest friends. Please welcome to the Service Love podcast, Dio Gibson, or always to me, Dwayne.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for having me.
It's so great to have you, Dwayne.
Yeah. I should have you read my intro at like all my shows. You know, like that was great. Thank you.
Oh, Dwayne, we are so excited to have you here because it's so different for us to talk to someone who does something completely different in the world. You're not working in a place where you're saying, "May I help you?" You're not working in a hotel or an airline or leading a whole group of people who do that. You are doing hip hop to children with a message of no bullying, a message of love. So can you tell us, to start off our conversation with you today, what your definition would be, given your parameters and what you do in your world? What is your definition of service love?
Well, it's funny when you say that lead up to it, because I had that same feeling. But then the more that I thought about it, and as a fan of the podcast, I listen in, I tune in, and as a friend to Mary, I've gone to events with her, and I've seen a synergy between what you guys have done and most of your guests and what I do. And, you know, being that you talk about service and love, I really resonate with that, because every day when I do a school performance, that's what I have to do. I have to service that love. So I guess when you give me that question, the first thing that pops in my head is, a couple of weeks ago, I was in a remote community in British Columbia. This town has 500 people in it. The school, from kindergarten to grade 8, has about 120 students. It's a very small school. And when I walked into the school, they were playing basketball in the gym, and one of the kids came up and said, "Are you the new basketball coach?" And I'd heard this a couple of days before, and then afterwards, I'd hear it the next few schools that I went to. And my own instinctual response is, it's not racism, but it's a stereotype that I'm a black man walking into a largely white community and I'm walking into a gym. He's got to be the basketball coach. But then, you know, when you talk about service and love, it's also just compassion. And I think about emotional intelligence to realize that that kid isn't trying to be racist. They're not being ignorant. It's a valid question. They were playing basketball. But I knew from that principal, he's like, feel bad that, you know, and accepting him who he is and just laughing and joking and being like, you know, what's your favorite basketball team? Who are you into? And then just to take it a step further, when the kids left, I was talking with the principal. And that's usually what you get a chance to do when you're setting up. I usually arrive 30 minutes before. I prefer to have the gym empty just to make sure everything can start on time. So, you know, kids playing basketball, but I deal with it. But, you know, talking to the principal, he's from Ontario. He's from London, Ontario. And Mary and myself grew up in Sarnia. So turns out we have mutual friends. So we were making that connection. But he said to me, we almost canceled today because one of our teachers passed away on Sunday. And today's Wednesday. And Sunday was the end of the Christmas break. So you have these kids coming to school on Monday and finding out their teacher died. And this is a very small, tight-knit community. So he said to me, like, I don't know if it was a good idea to have this, but now that you're here, I'm like, this is the best thing we could do today. And so I guess I wanted to give that answer because I appreciated that, you know, I could be there that day and that I could share that compassion with students and give them and the teachers just a moment of joy and to take their mind off of what is a very tough time. I mean, it was, the teacher had been sick, but just recently, and obviously anytime somebody passes away when they're younger, especially, it's a surprise. So, I really think it's just about seeing and meeting people where you are, but I think the key is always going to be compassion.
Thank you. I love that because your service job is to go and perform and to do a performance and to give a message. And then your choice is to do that with love and acceptance and compassion. So thank you for that beautiful answer. We appreciate that. Thank you. Wow.
And I guess just to add on to that, it's because with what you said there, your job doesn't start like when the clock's on, like, okay, we've introduced DO. The job for me was as soon as I walked in the door, like I'm on. So it's that the pre-talk with somebody and maybe your listeners or you can resonate with that. It's not just about the act that you're doing with somebody, but it's how you carry yourself throughout the day with other employees and teammates. That's really what goes into that service. It's not just that request for one thing or the performance.
Great. I can't agree more, Dwayne. And I know you very well, and I've traveled the world with you and been with you in many situations. And obviously, the more you've become well-known, you've had to serve love all the time, right? So like you said, you're always on stage in a little bit of a way. Yeah. And I've known you, I think, since we were 15, which goes back a little bit a while for our listeners out there. But when did you know? Because I've known you for a long time, but when was that moment when you went, I love what I do. This is what I'm going to do. This is what I love. This is my passion. When was that moment for you?
It's funny because as you say that, you know, I'm thinking I could talk about rapping, but it was really going into one of the first schools that I went into because I'd gone into a couple of schools at that point. But I now that I was trying to make this a professional program of going into a school and talking to youth for an hour and doing a hip hop show. How's this going to work? Are they going to like it? They're the first schools that booked me. I knew a teacher there and I was in Scarborough. And the one thing about Scarborough is it's a unique community. It's a big borough of, you know, over 500,000 people, but it has a stigma of kind of being a little rougher around the edges. And so when I'm speaking at a school there, I know I have to deliver. I know I have to do a good job to make sure I keep those kids' attention for that full hour. And so performing in front of that group, seeing that energy, got in the car and I'm driving to my job, which was teaching after school, learning how to read and literacy skills. I was just so excited in my car. Like, I'm turning the music up to 10, you know, I'm just like jamming, like rapping along to Jay-Z. And I just felt like, yeah, I can do this. And so to me, it was, I've always loved rap and I always loved performing, but that ability to connect with that audience is something I love. And I always look back at that because, you know, when you're a professional artist, it's repetition. It's doing the same thing again and again. So you could maybe not have that same feeling when you come out, because I'm like, oh, I got to get to the next show. But I always try to take myself back to those first shows and that show in particular to be like, yeah, you just came and you did it again. So always trying to stay in the moment and being aware of how much you love it.
Oh, that's interesting. To stay in the moment and be aware of how much you love it. So, okay, because you're really talking about the fact that you express service love all the time, but this is how you do it. Mm. So when you say that, to be in the moment and to be aware of what you're doing, how do you do that? What, do you have any thoughts about that? Because that's a really interesting thing that you brought up, because that's what you need to do. So tell us a little bit about that.
I channel my inner Mick Jagger. Well, I say that because I read an article, and to paraphrase it, he basically said, if I'm in my 40s and I'm still on stage singing, I can't get no satisfaction, I'll think like I'm a failure. I failed at life. Like, and it's ironic because what is Mick Jagger known for? He's known for being an older rock star in the Rolling Stones, and they put on shows around the world to this day. And people aren't coming out for the new music. I know, I'm pretty sure they just released an album, but he is emotionally aware enough to know when people come see the Stones, they want to hear, I can't get no satisfaction. Mm-hmm. So every day I do a song. It doesn't matter if I'm talking about Black history or anti-bullying. I do this song every day called I Stand Up. And I could be like, I'm sick of this song. I've done this song a million times. I'm tired of the song. But every time that song comes out, I think of Mick Jagger, because I'm like, maybe this crowd hasn't heard it, or maybe they have heard it, so they want to hear this song. So I've got to deliver that song to my best abilities. I can't just kind of go through the motions. And I like the song because it's a song where it's call and response. So there's audience participation. There's a spot where I get all the kids to clap and then clap faster and then make some noise on this side, some noise on this side. So it's just really about being, you know, that inner Mick Jagger to say, I've got to do my best right now. It doesn't matter that I did this song at another school a couple hours ago and that I got to do it tomorrow. Right now, I want to put on this song and do a great job for this audience.
It's not about you.
Yeah, it's not about me.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not about you. And that is, I think, a tough thing too, right? For probably many artists and many professionals that become, you know, at a certain level in their careers, that they have to kind of say, it isn't about me, even though I'm at maybe the top of where I am. That's a whole other piece. But right now, so you're talking about right now, we're in a certain part in time in this planet. There's lots has happened and there's lots of things going on in the world. So how do you, D.O. Gibson, how do you serve with love? Like, where is it challenging? You know, where are there times where you're like, this is hard right now to do this? It's hard to deliver, especially, you know, with what's going on, you know, with students and young people, you know, there's a lot of challenges out there right now. So how do you continue to serve that love?
It's funny because, you know, it's a couple years now since the big impact of COVID. And it's weird when we look back at it, because it's like, it was only 2 years ago, like, or 18 months ago in some ways. And I know COVID still exists, but just the fact of the isolation and the effect that that had on everyone, you know, around the globe. And so when I'm dealing with kids, it's 2 years of their life were drastically changed. And you recognize it, you can see it. You know, for that kid in grade 10 that You know, they didn't have their grade 8 graduation. They didn't really get to know people in grade 9 because of that isolation and that effect that you see on how they interact with socially, compounded by our use of the phone, because during the pandemic, we're on our phones so much. So, you know, at the end of the day, what does the phone do to us? It's distraction. And it's something that we all battle against. You know, when you wake up in the morning, are you going to check your phone? Or when you're sitting down and bored or waiting for a few minutes, are you just going to check your phone? And versus being mindful. And so one of the big challenges you have is, you know, doing that yourself, being mindful, but, you know, connecting with people. If I'm doing a performance for an hour, to engage them. And I thought about it yesterday because I appreciate that when I look around at the crowd, teachers aren't on their phones because it's a small thing, but sometimes I do notice they are. But I appreciate when they're not, because I think we all have to lead by example. And, you know, putting down that phone is such an important thing. And I love listening to music. I love listening to podcasts. I listen to your podcast. But lately, I've been listening to nothing because it's so easy that, like, when you have to go do the dishes or clean your house, to always have something on. But it's kind of nice some days to not have anything on and just listen to the thoughts in your head. I just got back from a jog and I didn't listen to music. I was just thinking about this podcast and thinking, you know, from listening to the episodes, kind of things you might ask me. And I wasn't bored. I had a great run. And I was in the moment. So the biggest challenge, I think, is cutting away from that distraction and being in the moment.
Wow. And it's the noise, I think. Yes, it's such a good thing. Too much noise, right? It's like, it's so funny because I couldn't find my AirPods today when I was taking the dogs out this morning for a walk.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, well, maybe I'm not supposed to have my AirPods in.
Yeah.
In all the time. Again, because I love listening to podcasts and music when I walk the dogs. And that's my kind of meditative. And I thought, maybe I just need to listen to the birds or the trees or the cars or my steps. And I did the exact same thing. So for 45 minutes, I just, and my thoughts, and I felt more alive and more at peace. And sometimes you got to cut the noise. No, I like that.
Well, you said that you went for a jog. Are there ways that you love and care for yourself that you do some self-love practices, some service love for you? And for those of you who can't see, of course, on this podcast, this is auditory, Gio's wearing a great cap and it says love on it. And he's also in on his t-shirt. Is that a man prank?
Yeah, Tupac.
Tupac. Yeah, that's so great. So how do you love and care for yourself?
I think it's so important to prioritize self-love. And I know Mary is a big fan of Robin Sharma, and he has a 5 a.m. club. I don't get up at 5 a.m. I prefer 6 most days. But, you know, what I appreciated about that was to have a morning routine. And I find that when I do my morning routine, when I journal at night, I'm like, wow, like my day was just great. It was productive. It was effective. I was in the flow. I had less anxiety. And, you know, quite simply, my morning routine that fits with me is working out. And it might, some days I'm really busy. I got a busy morning, but if I take 10 minutes to go for a walk or to do some yoga, I like to meditate, but even if I only do it for 5 minutes, just giving myself that time and spending 10 to 15 minutes reading a book and then spending 5 to 10 minutes journaling. I find if I do those 4 things of working out, meditating, reading, and journaling, that's giving myself self-love before I go out into the world and I have to give that energy away. That, you know, I would feel depleted sometimes if I find myself too busy to not take that time for myself first.
That's great.
Completely great. And I call it time out to find out. You need to take the time out to find out, you know, yourself and other things. Yeah. that's what I say. So I love that.
We'll put that on the record. Cut the noise.
I love journaling at night. journaling at night is so interesting because instead of like, I mean, I think journaling in the morning is great too, but journaling at night to reflect on, you know, where did I make a difference today? How did I serve today? Whose life did I enhance today? Who did I touch? How was I a blessing? All of those things that you can look back on the day and then say, okay, good day, good night. Yeah. And that's really cool. Thanks for that.
No, I definitely agree with that. And one thing I've been doing lately too is, you know, everybody does it in the beginning of the year, not so much a resolution, but when I'm writing those things, I'll also say, how am I going to feel in April 23rd? You know, and I'll put those things in there where I want to be to kind of manifest those, because I know that in April I can look back in January and see. And that process for me when I'm journaling is not so much goal setting, but it's just more just showing myself that if I keep on sticking to this path of consistency, that I'll get to where I want to go.
I love that. I'm all about manifesting. And I'm all about loving ourselves, right? We need to love ourselves. I think that was something I learned out of the pandemic. But where do you think right now there needs to be more love and compassion? You talked about yourself. We need to love ourselves. But where do you think there's other areas that there needs to be more love and compassion?
Well, I think it's about being compassionate to other people. So I guess, you know, I've seen a disturbing trend over the last few months and couple of years where I work with a lot of creatives. So it's not just about other rappers, but, you know, graphic designers or film producers or and obviously musicians. And I've seen more people give up in their field. So I'd have to go with that because I'm a creative, I have a little bit more compassion that I know that, you know, take an artist after COVID, a lot of live venues closed down and they're not coming back in as many ways. And you know, an artist gets paid via streaming, but you don't really get paid. And because you're not doing live shows, you're not selling merchandise. And you're putting a lot of investment into a studio and all these costs. So I get that because I'm a creative. But I also know how frustrating it is when somebody makes a post on Facebook or social media to say, I've got this new product. I've got this new event. And it feels like nobody really responds. And because I'm that creative, I know that just hitting the share button is very powerful, you know, because if you come out with a song that you spent so long on and you just make this one post and feels like nobody's listening. But I also know that if my friend comes out with a book, well, I want to go purchase that book and I might want to purchase two of them to give to a friend as well, just to spread the word. So, I just try to have compassion for people. You know, music is my field, but I think that stretches above and beyond. I'm sure in the hotel industry, you know, there was obviously it was shut down for so long and people had to change careers. So having compassion to people in your industry, I think is really important that, you know, while they're, you know, I feel like I'm doing great right now, but not just because I'm doing good. I also want to make sure that I want my other friends to be doing well as well. And to be, if I can help them in any capacity, to being aware that I can help them.
I love that.
Don't you love it? I love it so much because it's so simple. It's so doable. It's something that everybody could actually do. I mean, I think being a creative myself and married, certainly, I mean, when you're an entrepreneur, you're constantly creating things. I've written lots of books and articles and blogs and God only knows. And even this podcast. And you're like, please share it. Go online and click and say, I like it. And put a star next to it or whatever it is. Like, but so that's something that people can do to have more love and compassion for each other. Because when I think of an artist, right, an artist puts their heart on the outside so that someone else can have an experience. That's what an artist really is. And so when you do that, you're really vulnerable. And so if more people could understand that and help you, they don't have to buy 100 books, but what if they a book, or they sent it to a friend, or they passed it on. I think that is such a beautiful thing. And I really thank you for that because it's so real. And keeping it in this area of like really real for us about what do we remember? Like, tell us a little bit about when you remember a time when you really served with love, like just a story, was it could be your favorite story, could be just a little moment of a story, but a story of that you felt like when you wrote in your journal in the evening, you were like, yeah, baby, got it. I loved it.
Yeah, I guess the first thing that comes to my mind is that tour that I was just on. And I remember one day when I was doing the tour, I'm doing 3 performances a day at 3 different schools. So one at 9 a.m., one at 11, and one at 2. Or, yeah, no, 1 p.m. So the first performance, I have to drive an hour to. And the weather is terrible. There's mountains, and, you know, they don't plow them. So, like, I'm just clutching the wheel. Jesus, take the wheel.
And this is Canada, everyone, for our viewers. It's Canada. Lots of snow.
And it's around mountains. And like I said, in British Columbia, they don't actually clear the snow. They don't have snow plows that come out regularly or salt the roads. So I'm kind of floating at some points. But I go do this show. I go do another one. And then I do that final one. And when I do the final one, I'm also thinking to myself, okay, I got to drive almost 5 hours right now to get to my next destination to do the same thing the next day. But I'm talking to kids after presentation. It's at a high school. And there's one guy who just kind of waits for everybody to go away before he talks to me. And he's just, you know, just sharing that, like, his message resonated. And it's cool to me that in these small communities with, you know, largely white kids, that they get my message. And I think that's cool because I grew up in small towns. And I would listen to rappers from LA and New York, and I could relate to them, even though our lives weren't the same. And I guess what it was, you know, just giving him that moment to talk to me and for me to just listen to him. Because when you're giving advice, a lot of times it comes off as a cliche, because what are you trying to say? You're trying to say, work hard, you know, hey man, like, believe in yourself, you know. You want to be a rapper? Well, take the first step. You know, these are all things everybody says, but I also think that when you're listening to somebody first and they know you're really listening, that's when it really hits them and it's really true to them. Because there's sometimes when I'm at these schools and I sign autographs every day. And what an amazing thing. I get a chance to sign an autograph every day, hundreds of them. But sometimes kids won't have a piece of paper, and one kid will. So they'll rip up this paper into all these little things, and they're just like 2 inches wide. And I'm thinking to myself, is this kid really going to keep this sheet of paper with me just signing DO? And I got to get to the next show. But I always say to myself, again, like, isn't it cool that kid wants that autograph, even on a piece of toilet paper sometimes? I guess it really just comes down to me is just being in that moment, especially when you're talking and communicating with people, I think is really important, because it's not what you're going to say to them. It's more oftentimes listening. And I guess I always think about that quote from Maya Angelou, that it's not what you say. They might forget that, but it's about how you make them feel.
Yeah. Wow. I love that. As an author, every time I sign an autograph, I think of it as a prayer. Mm. And I appreciate it enough because, like, wow, thank you for wanting that. And to me, it's like a little self-prayer to do that. Could you indulge us just a little bit? Because you've had 3,500 shows, and I'm just wondering, and I'm sure our listeners are wondering, can you share just some of your message? Maybe a little hip-hop, a little what you're sharing with these kids? That would be so cool, because it's service love in such a different way, and I'm inspired by it, and I think that your message would inspire other people. Could we hear just a little of it? That'd be okay?
Well, every day, I try so hard. If you don't know, DO stands for Defy the Odds. So these are the words I carry ever since I was hanging out with Mary. She's legendary because she does real. And you know, we so hard as steel. Holly, I know you feel, you hear things, stick out and blink, shine like your earrings. So all the way from above, you can see it on my hat because I'm about love. So that's the truth that I drop. And you can hear it from the words from Tupac. See, sometimes you got to cut the noise. I can't make it out from over your shoulder, but I think it says joy. That's back there. There you go. So y'all heard this. You give me a freestyle, I'm never nervous because I serve with purpose. And what I try to do is provide service. Oh, yeah.
Ooh, I'm going to give you an oh, yeah. That was amazing. Oh, Dwayne, that was so good. Loved it. And oh, my gosh, compassion, care, connection, community. That's what I'm hearing from you. And I know you just told a story, but I just want to say I had the pleasure to the audience. You know this, but I got to go to L.A., and meet up with Dio, and he took me to the Grammys, everyone. It was amazing. And I got to be part of this music community for a week, which was completely different from my hospitality week. And I met so many interesting people, but everybody I met who was connected to Dwayne, it's hard for me to say Dio, but Dwayne, just said how much they appreciated Dwayne because he always served them. He always was there for them in the community of music. He always had an ear. He always was there for advice. He helped get them even to LA with funding and promoting them and supporting them. And no one has ever said anything, you know, negative about Dwayne and just said how amazing he is. So I want to say you serve with so much love and you've done so much for the music industry, especially in Canada. And not everybody would know the things behind the scenes, because of course being on stage is one thing, but it's all the things that go on when the camera's not on, and you do that consistently. So I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart as a friend, but also just watching you as a professional and what you've done for so many people in the industry. So I just wanted to share that.
Well, thank you. And just to close with that is one of the things I appreciate you saying is the community. And so what I appreciated about you coming, you're not from the music background, but you made an instant connection with that community. And it comes back to like what we're saying, having that compassion. And isn't it cool that, you know, you're in Los Angeles, but I'm introducing to you to my friend from London, England, and her friends that were there. And then you guys became friends. And now, you know, you have that community that exists over there that's kind of an extension of my community, that it's just kind of a global community. So, you know, for me being a rapper, I never looked at it as rappers as my competition. A lot of times people think, oh, I got to be the best in my neighborhood. I got to be the best in the city. I got to be the best in the country and, you know, so on and so forth. Where I just looked at it as there's plenty of spots for us all to succeed and that we can help each other. And, you know, you just try to develop your own niche. And when you do that, you're really not competing with anyone. My motivational speaking company is Stay Driven. And I have a song called No Traffic, because when you're in your own lane, there's no traffic. And I'd love to see a lot of cars driving on the road so I could put it in cruise control. So I appreciate when like-minded individuals have that thinking. And if you're at a place like the Grammys, the creme de la creme, that's what I found that the most successful artists did. They didn't look at other people as competition. They looked at collaboration and looked at helping each other.
Beautiful. Oh, love it. So I can't believe we're coming to the end of this talk, which is, yeah, it's been amazing, Dwayne. I could, as you know, yeah. I could talk to you all day, which we have before.
Yeah, I know. Let's go by.
Yeah, definitely. But I am going to lead now with the rapid five questions. Ooh. And I'm going to ask you, do you like this or do you prefer that?
Sure.
You ready?
I'm familiar, yeah.
Okay, great. Do you prefer R&B or soul music?
Soul music. I like R&B music, but I like R&B that has soul in it. So I got to go with the soul.
All right. Do you prefer sun or snow?
I prefer sun because I just find that when I'm looking out my window here and the sun is shining, it's great. But I do love snow. I just hate it as somebody who speaks in schools because schools can get canceled when there's snow. But when I was a kid, I loved a snow day.
Yeah, it's funny. I always say that I thought, oh, I won't miss the snow when I leave Canada. I haven't seen snow yet this season. And it's weird not having it. All right, I'm going to go into cities now. Do you prefer Toronto or Tokyo?
Tokyo. I love Toronto, but it's my hometown. And Tokyo was one of those places when I showed up there. I was only in the city for 3 days, but it just really blew my mind. And I had such a great time there and so many memories from just being there for really like 2.5 days. But I love it because it was futuristic. I love going to the fish market. I love being in Shibuya at night. So I got to go with Tokyo. I can't wait to go back.
Neither can I. Okay, we need a Tokyo trip. Do you prefer a starter or a dessert? I know you're a foodie.
I'm a starter. I love appetizers, you know, and we just came out with a family cookbook and my daughter made maple glazed wrap dates that are stuffed with almonds and some kind of cheese as well. I can't think of the cheese, but medjool dates, and they're absolutely amazing. I think I said the bacon was wrapped around there too with the maple glaze. So give me a good appetizer. I love dessert. I like dessert, but I'm not as much of a sweet person. So I like the savory.
The savory. And can we get this cookbook or what's happening with the cookbook, Dwayne?
Well, cool thing was we finished the cookbook so that we could give it to family at Christmas. My son was like, we got to get this done. And he really reminded me of myself because I'm like, well, it's going to take a few months to do this. And he's like, no, daddy, if we really work on it, we can get it done. So we came out with the test print. But now we get a chance to go over it, fine tune it, and then we're going to put it out for sale in the spring. So I'm really looking forward to that. And it's cooking to me is something fun to do with my kids. Again, because, you know, there's distraction. You know, you could be on your device sitting in your room or you could be playing video games. So it's nice that when my kids are here, we just get a chance to engage in something we can all do together, play some music, have some fun, and then fill our stomachs.
Okay, I look forward to that book. Definitely be getting it. And do you prefer basketball or American football?
Tough questions.
I know.
Well, basketball is always my first love, so I go with that. I watch a lot more American football these days, but basketball is great. I just wish the Toronto Raptors were doing better this year, but we've had a good run.
Great. Are those all your questions, Mary?
I know.
That was five.
Okay.
That was five. You are awesome. So you need to tell us about the cookbook so we can share it on all of our social media places. There we go. Absolutely. We listened. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And I loved the song and it just the whole thing was just fantastic. And thank you for the work that you're doing in the world and for helping people, especially children, to be nicer to each other. And if they can hear that message, if we could all be a little bit nicer to each other. And if aren't bullied as children, maybe we'd be nicer adults. So thank you so much for really planting that seed and helping us to grow more beautiful trees. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
It was amazing. Thank you. It was incredible. And I am going to ask you one last thing before you leave, if that's okay. I know we're almost at time, but your walk-off shot. Definitely walk-off shot. How are you going to serve with more love? What is one thing you're going to do that is going to make a difference after you leave this podcast today?
Well, for the listeners who don't know, I say something called a walk-off shot, usually when I'm talking to somebody or I do it with my shows with the last thing that I do. And it was cool when we did this because when we started, I hadn't talked to Holly, you know, face-to-face, and you had to step away for a moment. And we were talking about how our dads are ministers. And we're preacher's kids. And then one of the things I took from this is, you know, signing that autograph and saying a little prayer. And I think being a minister's kid, you know, you learn about God and Christianity. And, you know, people assume that you follow all those things or that you go the other way. But I'd like to think that it's not so much about religion when you say saying a prayer and you don't have to just talk about God or just believe in everything in the Bible, to just spread a message of kindness and to be in the moment and to be aware. So I think it's, you know, when we're saying prayer, we're sending out love, and you don't have to be religious to do that. If you are, that's great for you. But I just think it's about being pure in love and sharing that with the world.
Amazing. Right? Couldn't agree with you more, Dwayne. I said something almost exactly same, not like that, but yesterday, that it's not about religion, it's about people, right? Mm-hmm. And it's how we serve them and how do we spread love to them. And take it out, like you said, if you are religious and you do that, great. If you're not religious and you do that, great. It's about the people. So thank you for being an amazing person, an amazing friend, an amazing guest here today on the Service Love Podcast.
Thanks so much for having me.
A big thank you to all of you who listened to the end today, and especially to our guest, Dio Gibson, for sharing how he defied the odds and provides tools to our next generations on serving with love through his love of hip hop. We are especially grateful for the freestyle he shared with us. You can learn more about the work Dio does and how to connect with him at imdiogibson.com. Have you ever wondered how someone becomes a street artist? Up next in episode 9, Holly and I are so excited to share a discussion with multidisciplinary artist David Speed, who currently is focusing on neon painting. Frustrated at the school system, he realized that by creating art, mentoring artists, and now podcasting, he could help many more people in touch with their creativity and does this serving with love. We would love to hear from you on how you celebrate the people who express their love and hospitality daily. Please drop us a line. Join our Service Love Challenge by visiting our website at www.steelandstedmanservicesolutions.com. And you can also follow us on Instagram at service_love and LinkedIn at Steel and Stedman Service Solutions. Together, we can inspire, inform, and influence a movement to raise the frequency of love. Will you be a part of it? My name is Mary Stedman. This is the Service Love Podcast, and Holly and I look forward to you joining us on the next episode.